And so it begins with the feud. It's the news. According to me. Well, it is Wednesday. All day today, it's going to be Wednesday. It's 7:21 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Wednesday, July 2nd. This is the 997th episode of the news, according to me. I bet you didn't know that. It was snuck up on me. I didn't realize it was going to be. So 97 today, 98 tomorrow, and 99 on Friday, which there should be shows. Tomorrow morning, I will be in Syracuse, New York. And on Friday morning, I will be in Jacksonville, Florida. So I will be, that's the plan anyway. That could all change. Because there's going to be some traveling in and out of D.C. And it's going to be, that can change things. I never know where I might end up because of all that. That's a very good possibility. Things could change yet today. I might end up, who knows where I might end up. Just depending on what happens. The nature of the work I do. I have lots of things. The dog is doing some weird. Okay, there we go. That's better. I'm here with my little buddy Uzi. My 90 pound. What is he doing now? My 90 pound puppy. In my cup this morning, I have regular chai. By the way, I'm here at the home studio today. Decided to come home. I drove back from Chicago yesterday, and the traffic was horrendous. I was literally sitting in a standstill for over 20 minutes, and absolutely no movement for 20 minutes, let alone the creepy crawly, you know, stuff. Took me an hour just to get to an off ramp where I could go, where the traffic was just, you know, moving slowly, creeping. And then I got home by 8 o'clock last night, after leaving the Chicago airport around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So yeah, 6 hours, and that was parking at the parking garage at the airport. So it wasn't like I was, you know, someplace crazy. It was ridiculous. I spent more time driving yesterday than I did working, which is I think it's a crime. When that happens. And of course, I have to go back today. And it looks like I'm going to end up driving back today. I was going to fly over from South Bend here. The problem is it's just too hard to book a flight. It's full. Everything's full. And there's always that possibility of getting back at the end because I won't have a car in Chicago. So then I'll have to worry about getting back on a Saturday, no less. And who knows what's going on in Notre Dame, and everything's messed up. And then again, of course, you have to travel on. It's a United carrier contractor that I don't think does a very good job. But they're safe and all. It just doesn't. I don't like flying on because they're just not dependable with schedules and timing and all that stuff. So I just don't want to take the chance of, you know, I can be. Yeah, I'd rather be sitting in my car in traffic than sitting at the airport waiting on a flight that doesn't leave for 4 hours. I know it sounds crazy, but it is what it is. Neither one of those are very good situations. I tried to leave at 2 o'clock one time on a flight that out of Chicago. Ended up, it was 12 hours later. I got into South Bend. 11 hours. I guess it was 11 hours because there was an hour. I lost an hour coming back. Yeah, so I got on a 2 o'clock flight out of Chicago, which was 3 o'clock Indiana time. By the time I got to South Bend, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. That's how bad it was. And the problem was I was stuck on that flight while the other flights were leaving. And they kept going back to the gate, and then they would board up and get ready to go. And the other flight would leave, and then we'd come back to the gate. And, of course, at one point, there was one plane I could have gotten on at 9 o'clock That flight left. The problem was I had my carry-on bag in the back of that airplane, and they weren't giving us our carry-ons. They were going to give us a different airplane. They ended up putting us back on the same airplane. Went back to the gate again. Talked to the captain afterwards, and he said, "Yeah, we just about had to go back to the gate. They were almost ready to cancel that flight." So that would have been great. After all the other flights left, three other flights left while I was sitting there. So I was just very frustrating. Much rather have been sitting in my car in traffic that whole time. At least I have some control over my destiny at that point. In my cup, I have my regular chai with my Almond Joy creamer. I'm going to have to find some way to take some kind of flavored creamers along with me, some kind of little... The problem is that you get into the non-dairy stuff. Now you're talking processed stuff that's, it can't be good for you. I just, to do that every day, it's one thing to have one once in a while. Again, moderation is the key on most things, but it's just to start doing that every day, to have a creamer that's, doesn't have to be refrigerated. What kind of cream is that? I mean, butter doesn't have to be refrigerated, I guess, but I don't know about this stuff. It's highly processed. They probably spend more on the little plastic container than they do on the actual cream. And of course, then you got plastic. It's just a whole, yeah. My backup cup, however, is very good. It's almost perfect. I thought I was afraid my sweet tea was going to be a little bit old. It's actually very good. It's very peachy. One of the problems with tea, usually when you put it in the refrigerator, you keep it. Most people don't seal it in a sealable container. I put it in an actual sealed container. If I kept it in glass, which I'm considering doing, I'm considering keeping a couple of old glass milk containers, because you gotta get milk in glass. I can tell a huge difference in the taste. It doesn't go bad as quickly. It's amazing. I still drink whole milk. Put it on my cereal and drink it with my stuff. But it's the difference in the taste and it's huge. It's a huge difference in taste. And very noticeable, especially if it sits for very long. And then you have, the tea can't be, it would have to be better too, I would assume. The trick though to keeping tea good for a long period of time is to keep it sealed up. And the pitcher that we have it in actually does seal pretty well. I have to make sure it's sealed between, especially when I leave for a while. I should always make sure if it's been sealed before I leave. So that when I get back, if it's, 4 days, 5 days, it at least has some semblance of, it doesn't go funky as quickly. And this is just about perfect. So I'm going to drink this morning, and then on the way, I'm going to take another jug of it along with me. Should be able to get all of it. And just throw the peaches in there. And then when I go past Chick-fil-A, I'll take those peaches and I'll throw them into the peach tea at Chick-fil-A. And it's just going to carry that peach flavor with me everywhere I go. Anyway, I might do that with my creamer. I just have to take a support. Maybe I have to have a support animal. It's a cow. Might be a good idea. Aren't there some mini cows? Can't you get mini cows? Little midget cows or whatever they call them. I can just do that and just have midget milk. Make my own cream along the way. Call it a support animal. Take it with me everywhere I go. Let's work on that. So there's a few things going on in the world. What is this big feud now that's going on? This is kind of a rock and a hard place type thing. But, hopefully politicians are not swayed by this at all. And this, the problem this is where you run into is that everything follows the money. These people... A lot of these politicians who get into office, it's the most money they've ever made in their lives, for some of them. They don't want to do anything to rock the boat. They want to make sure that they, of course, they make all these grandstanding things. They get on, a lot of them like to be on the television and like to be on the news and be the face of the party, so to speak, sort of like AOC and some of these others. The thing that you don't realize with much of it is the majority of the House, especially the House, the representatives, they don't like to be on TV. They would just as soon just go in, get their paycheck, do their vote, attend a committee, do whatever, whatever they can do to kind of increase their spending fund that they get, their allotment for their budget, for their office budget. Do what they can, Don't make any waves. Don't say much. Just kind of vote along, whatever. Get their PAC money for their reelection so they can keep their six-figure incomes. Many of them, not all of them, have never actually been out in the real world and made any real money, done anything productive. Many of them have never done that. Or they did it and failed, and that they ended up in politics. And that they now they have a death grip on this job because it is a cush job. And folks, the reason that they don't want to give it up once they get – the reason they don't want to vote for term limits is because that includes them. The very people who need term limits are the ones who have to vote for it. And they don't – of course, they don't want to do that because they – once they've reached that – everybody runs on that. Everybody going into office, well, we're going to vote for term limits for Congress. Once they get into Congress, oh, yeah, we're going to work on that. Oh, yeah, we had a vote come up, and I voted for it, but nobody – there wasn't enough support. Because the only way they'll vote for it is if they know that it's not going to pass. Then they can say they voted for it. That's how crazy this stuff is. Just like this guy I was talking about yesterday, what's his name? He's the guy who's going to retire now because he was voting against – he's the guy who's voted 40% with the Democrats. Stiller. What is his name? Something I can't remember. Little puppy. And they, he's one of those people who he put an amendment in the bill and then he voted against it. It's one of those things where, this was a Ron Paul trick. Ron Paul used to do this. And the only problem was, Ron Paul did it on behalf of his constituents. What he would do, it was kind of genius the way Ron Paul would do it. He would vote no on something so that he could say he voted no for it. Now, the problem is the Republicans and Democrats like to throw things into the bill. Here's the way this trick goes. Somebody comes up with a bill to do something for, you know, make school buses a federal law that school buses have to stop at a crossing, at a train crossing. Okay, so let's just say something similar like that. Just a simple little bill, should be a standalone bill, should be a law on its own. And so that the bill goes out, and people start attaching amendments to it. Well, I'll put this amendment on there. One of the amendments that they could so what they'll do is they'll put the no candy for kids amendment on there. Or they'll put something crazy on some kind of amendment on there. So if you vote for this thing for the school bus crossing, then they'll come back later and say, "I understand you voted for no candy for kids." Well, that wasn't the bill. That was just what was in the bill, and somebody tagged it on there. That wasn't really what it was about. So they now I get accused of saying I don't want kids to have candy, which you know that's not such a bad deal. Maybe it's not a good analogy, but the. But the you know it sounds terrible. So kids can't have teddy bears. Whatever it is, and it's one of those things where now they've got you because they can get you on this voting thing. They pull this kind of stuff all the time. So when voting season comes around, then the other side has something that they can throw out there and say he voted against this, he voted against that. Well, yeah, but it was in a bill for this. And it was more important to get that through than it was to deal with your little pet issue over there that you're all now clutching your pearls over. And they pull that trick all the time. It's one of the reasons why Nancy Pelosi said, we have to pass the bill so we can see what's in it. That's because, you know, because other people throw stuff in it all the time. You don't know what you're going to get. It's like a box of chocolates. So... What happens here is, because the BBB now is going through, the big, beautiful bill, whatever. It's going through, it's gotten through House, gotten through the Senate now. Senate made their changes on it. It has to go back through the House for ratification. Chances are it's going to end up coming out of the House again looking just like it did. And the Senate, and you can't, because all bills have to originate in the House. Senate can come up with a bill, and they can... Then what they do is they send it to the Congress or to the House, I should say, and it goes through this reconciliation process, goes back and forth, and it goes. So there's what they're calling it the Votorama, where the one side votes and the other they throw it to the Senate, the Senate votes, and they make their changes, Senate, and they send it back to the Congress. Now, if Congress doesn't change much and it can get through the House again, then the Senate will look at it and go, okay, we'll go with that. Now, a lot of times the Senate will push things a little further than they need to so they can have that kind of come back with a negotiation. The Congress may come back, or the reps may come back and say, okay, we're not going to give you 100 of these, but we'll give you 50. And then the Senate will go, okay, that's kind of what we wanted anyway. So it's kind of one of those deals, you know, where you somebody asks $100,000 for their little item that you want to purchase from them. You go offer them 50, they come back with 75. And go, that's what I, yeah, that's good. We'll go with that. That's what I'm willing to pay. Because we met halfway. Well, it didn't, no. Anyway. So that's what's going on right now in Congress. So there's a little bit of back and forth with the whole BBB thing. However, there is now a feud that has started over this whole thing. Well, getting back to the whole story about the – before I get into that too much, too far, too deep into the weeds on that. Tillis, the guy's name is Tillis. I just happened to think of it. It was bugging the daylights out of me. This Tillis guy. So he threw this thing in there. Now, Ron Paul used to do this. And what he would do is he would make sure that he knew the bill was going to pass. He was called Dr. No when he was in the Congress. He was in the House of Representatives. Now his son is in the Senate. When he was a representative in Texas. What he would do in his district, when he knew the bill was probably going to pass, he would still vote no. When it had anything to do with government spending or anything to do with government manipulation or meddling with any other countries or not, if it was unconstitutional in his opinion, he just voted no for it. And he typically voted no for 90% of everything. And what he would do is he would throw an amendment in. So say the bill was for, $1 billion. It's $1 billion. And he would figure out exactly how much taxpayer money was going to come out of his district to pay that $1 billion off. In other words, how many people are going to pay taxes? How much taxes coming out of my particular district for that particular item? And so what he would do is he would calculate that all out, and then he would calculate how much this amendment was going to cost to put in. Okay, well, you can do that, but in part of that deal for that $1 billion is that you're going to put a bridge into or a building or whatever it is, some kind of infrastructure or something to do with a program or whatever it was in his district. Usually it was infrastructure. And so say they had to put a bridge in, $100 million bridge, whatever it was. Well, he voted no, but it would go through with that amendment in there. And so that $100 million or whatever it was that was thrown in there, or million, would come back to his district, and all the people who paid taxes for that crazy thing that Congress was voting on, that money would come back to their district. It would come back to those same people. So they saw a direct result from that. It was kind of a genius way to do it. Now, he wasn't real vocal about doing that, not until the latter years. But people always say, well, he throws these amendments in there and he still votes no for the thing. That's what he was doing, and he explained it later on in life. The last couple terms he served, he explained what he was doing. And I think some other congressmen have kind of stepped into that. But most Congress people will not just vote no, especially right now with the tight margins we have now in the Congress. They won't just vote no on principle anymore. They'll vote no to maintain their status with the powers that be within the head of the largest pack is the Speaker of the House, controls a lot of money, controls a lot of funding for elections. And you're seeing that now. What is happening with this whole, we're going to primary you thing, which is what this, and here's where we go with this. This is, you saw it in the Democrat Party just a little bit when Hogg, David Hogg got into as the vice chair of the DNC, which they have summarily gotten rid of him. This guy gets in there and he decides we're going to start primarying some of these people that don't vote the way we want them to. Well, that's not the job of the DNC. The DNC is there to support the particular candidates and to support and to not be have a bias with their candidacy. It's kind of been their trademark, so to speak, which doesn't make it only works that way on the lower levels of things. It doesn't work that way for like the big offices like president and that kind of, obviously they don't even use the DNC for that. I mean, they decide for you who's going to be your candidate. So the big offices and the ones who, you know, have been in power forever, like Chuck Schumer and those kinds of people, they don't have to worry about re-election at all. They've got it wrapped up because they got all the money, they got all the control. They have the media on their side. The whole thing is quite a racket. And you wonder why how these people get into office and they never leave. You know, how can they be in office for 25 years? Well, it's they get really good at the game, and they play it very well. So. That's what's happening now. So now we've got this feud going on. Now, one of the things that, of course, Trump said was, you know, if you don't vote along with us, along the lines with this whole thing, if you don't go along with what we're doing, especially this big, beautiful, we're going to primary you in 2026. It's kind of a threatening thing. And it's fully within the president's purview to do that kind of thing. That has been done before. Now, it has never been done by the Speaker of the House. Well, it hasn't been known to be done. Or it hasn't been that vocal. They haven't just come out and said that. They've done it. Mitch McConnell, when he was when the Senate was basically, he was head of the Senate, the majority leader or whatever in the Senate. When he had an opportunity to do some things that were the right thing to do, basically, there were some candidates that were running in some offices, he siphoned funds off from one state to another to back other candidates and even to back opposing candidates. He was very quiet about it. But that's what was going on. And Mitch McConnell did that many times, by the way. He was very good at this whole funding thing where they would fund people that he didn't like. And I think it happened with Carrie Lake, actually, if I remember right. She did something. I think he did something where he channeled money around because she was so pro-Trump. It was Mitch McConnell. I can't believe he's still there. Where's he been? Why hasn't he been talking? Well, because he can't hardly talk. He's basically he should be feeding the ducks somewhere in a nursing home. I just don't understand. But again, these people have a death grip on power, and it's not just them. The problem isn't just that Mitch McConnell has the death grip on power. It's his entire ministry. There's a lot of people who are around Mitch McConnell who have access. They have a cush job. They have all this the benefits of being around power all the time. And it's very addictive, and it's very enticing. Seductive or whatever. What ends up happening is all these people around them who have jobs, and some of them six figures, and some, you know, good paying jobs with all this, they rub shoulders with all these important people. It's a very intoxicating thing for some people. And they get in there and they get involved in all that. They want to keep Mitch propped up. They will continue to prop him up like you know, Weekend with Bernie or whatever. And just in order just to stay in where they're at. So it's not just Mitch that's climbing onto power here. It's all these people around them who they will be gone. If Mitch McConnell's gone, their job's gone. They don't have connections or network with anybody else. They're going to switch from Mitch McConnell's position to some. Now they might. The next person that comes in and takes Mitch McConnell's place, they might possibly, you know, whoever that senator is going to be. What is he from? Is he Missouri? Where was he from? So the next senator that gets elected, he will not have the power that Mitch McConnell does. He'll not be Speaker of the House. Or he won't be majority leader. I guarantee you that. Probably not anyway. So the next majority leader will be somebody else that's already in the Senate, most likely. And they already have their staff. So these people who are, you know, walking around with all this power, this guy's been around forever, they're not going to have that power anymore. They're not going to be the important people in the room and, you know, I'm with Mitch McConnell, we're doing this, we're doing that, we have all this control of all this power and this PAC money, everything that they're doing. So it's they lose that. They're the ones really, that are really propping up Mitch McConnell. It's not about Mitch McConnell. It's about the machine that is Mitch McConnell. And they're part of that. They're part of the cogs in that wheel. So that's how all that goes. That's why this whole thing goes together. Whenever you see a congressman or a senator, there's a whole lot of other people that being employed by in that office beside that person and around that person. So it's just their staff and everybody else that goes along with that. And they get, of course, they get a budget for those kinds of things. They get that's money on top of the money that they make. Even though they might take home. Or they might gross, $220,000 or whatever they get paid. They have an operational budget as well, which it pays for a lot of things. Plus they get their health care, they get all these other things that's just their pay. That's just their cash. There are all kinds of other benefits and things that go along with that. It's more than $1 million package, I'm sure, in terms of budget for each one of them. It's from what we spend to have them there. Plus that, all their other. They belong to a committee. Now they get another. Now you also get a stipend. You get this, and you get this other budget. You get this. It adds to everything that they get on their income. Which is why they serve on those committees. Now, we said all that. The big feud, the big rumble that's going on here now between Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Wouldn't you know it? Now I lost a lot of respect on Elon with this one. And I think that David Crowder David Crowder's a singer. I like him. Stephen Crowder, Louder with Crowder is the name of his channel. He's got it mostly on Rumble now. He still posts some of his show on YouTube. But he basically left YouTube because of the way they were treating him. And it was I don't blame him at all. But he had some good points about this whole thing between Elon and Donald Trump. And it's, Elon now is talking about. Now, Donald Trump, what he's done is he's going after the people who are voting no for this bill. He says he's going to primary him. Elon Musk has said anybody who votes yes on this bill, he's going to primary them. If it's the last thing he does, he's going to make sure that he primaries them out of office. Now, if I was in office right now, I would say, you know what? I don't care what one man or what another man says. I'm going to do what my constituents say. And hopefully I know my constituents well enough to know that's because they're going to vote for me regardless of how much money is poured into a particular place. So it's more about, everybody talks about, it takes a lot of money. Well, it does take a lot of money, but it also takes a lot of legwork. If you can make up for a lot of financial things just by getting out and getting right the key people in the right place and getting out to do things and just getting people who believe in your vision and in your mission, get out and knock on some doors, talk to some people, get to know your constituents, and the people will vote for you. That's just the way that works. But you've got to do the legwork. That doesn't require a lot of money, but it does require a lot of legwork. It requires a lot of effort. You're not going to see Elon Musk out knocking on anybody's doors. And here's what bothers me about this is that Elon Musk isn't going to run for office. He's just going to start a party. He doesn't want to be the head of that party and be elected to anything. He just wants to throw his money at it. This is not going to work. He's going to have some support. There's a lot of people who are just diehard Elon fans, and they think it's just, he can do no wrong. There's not a lot of those. And most of them are not in this country. So when he did this poll, I think it was like 20 or 30% of the people said, they don't want him to start a new party, and there's like 70% or so that said they want him to start a new party, a People's Party or whatever it's called. And of course, it's going to be him running the show. Can you imagine having this kind of guy behind the scenes telling everybody how to vote in a particular party? He stepped on his own tail here, in my opinion. He doesn't understand the nature of he's kind of socially has issues. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed that or not. He has a hard time relating to people socially. He does a great job with what he's doing with innovation and everything else, as long as he's got the money to back it, and he comes up with innovative ways to do things with finances and technology and all this stuff. However, he's not that great of a spokesperson for some things. Oh, he'll convince some people. He'll get some people on his side with some things. However, in the past year, he has ticked off a lot of people. Now, the news media, the legacy media, CNN and MSNBC and ABC, they are just having a thrill up their leg about what's going on between Elon Musk and Donald Trump. They just think it's great that these two are fighting each other because they don't like either one of them. No, they like the fact they don't get along. I thought that when things, you know, after the first little, you know, tirade that Elon went off on, like a petulant child, in my opinion, he threw this little tantrum and was saying all kinds of weird things, and he was throwing things out there, and he came back and apologized. I thought it would have been best for him just to lay low and not say anything, just go back to your businesses, do your thing, and kind of stay as this person in the background who is just kind of go along kind of thing, go, you know, for now, just don't, you know, you've already, you know, stuck your foot in your mouth enough. But now he comes out and does this. So he's basically opposing this bill. He's getting a little bit too involved, in my opinion. He's a little bit too much involved. And I think people, this makes people a little bit, even people on the right who like the fact that he was involved with this whole Doge thing and he was doing his job and he had a task and he was given his task and he's doing it. Now he's getting involved in something that's a little bit more, meddling in the political process. And I think that has a bad ring to most people. Even people who I like Elon Musk. I don't know that I would be comfortable having dinner with the guy he's just socially, he's a little bit weird, a little bit different. I'm not sure I could relate to him in a normal conversational kind of way. Maybe I could. I don't know. I'm sure I could get along with anybody. But he probably. I don't know. It's not the kind of person I would necessarily wouldn't be my first pick. But the fascinating guy, though. I mean, he's a very interesting, fascinating person. He's in that respect. However, I don't like what he's doing with this in this particular process, and I think that there's people who are kind of put off by this. The general population, I think, is put off by it. His goal is to draw votes away from the Republicans and to have his own, start his own party. And because, and of course, he doesn't want to, he's saying he's not a Democrat. He's not ever going to, you know, be in the Democrat Party again. But basically, he's talking about a different kind of Democrat Party. That's what he's doing. But this whole thing about starting a third party just to screw up the system. The only thing it's going to do is put Democrats back in office, so he has to see what he's doing there. It's most of his draw, I would say, would be from independents and from the right, people who would lean more conservative, which is not going to help his cause. He's all about the spending issues, and of course the Democrats are not about that. They don't care about that. And this new guy, Zurhan Mamdani, whatever the guy's name is, probably going to be the mayor of New York. I don't know. Be interesting to see what happens with the whole process here with this guy. The Democrats themselves, the traditional Democrats out there the big name Democrats, are pretty upset about this whole thing. They're not too sure about what to think about this guy, and they're trying to figure out how to get rid of him. They were expecting Cuomo to pull it off, and he didn't. So now they're stuck with this guy, and they don't know what to do because he's a full-blown communist. The guy has come out and said, well, you know, the Holy Grail would be to seize the means of production. And he makes this big deal of being a democratic socialist. A democratic socialist. They're communists, okay? And that's what seizing the power, the means of production is. That's what communism is. They just can't admit it. He can't come out and just say, I'm a communist. Democratic socialism, it's just the way to vote in. That means the people have voted in communism is what it means. Everything he does, all of his philosophies, all of his policies and programs are all about communism. It's all part of the Communist Manifesto. To these people, communism and socialism go hand in hand. They're the same thing. Now, there's a socialist, more of a socialist agenda that you could say is more of a socialism, pure socialism kind of thing. It has nothing to do with communism. However, it is the step to communism. It is definitely not. Yeah, it's just, it gets there. And we are very close to that in this country, by the way. We're not that far from it. There are a few things standing in the way of government leaders taking that kind of power. But the Democrat Party has definitely been the open door for that kind of policy to walk into. And they've accepted it for a while because it was part of the wing that they kind of just, it was kind of like a little stepchild they didn't want to talk about. But it was the part of the gang that they would kind of pat on the head. And now all of a sudden this, since there's so much turmoil in their party, it's the louder part of their party is the definite, you know, the woke radical leftists that are out there doing this thing. So now we got these congressmen and all these people who are caught in this weird position. Well, here's my voice to you. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a geopolitical expert. This is my advice, if you want to take it. If you're a person in office right now, ignore them. Vote according to what your constituents would want you to vote on. If you have constituents that you think would go against this thing, like, then educate them on why you're voting, why you're voting the way you're voting. Explain why you're voting the way you're voting. Maybe you're voting the way you're voting because you're more concerned about one person. You know, have your reasons. If you don't say anything, we're going to assume that you're voting because you think that Donald Trump might be able to have more effect on your next election than Elon Musk. I personally would if you're voting because of that, if you're just worried about being primary by one or the other, I'd be more worried about being primary by Donald Trump, frankly. Elon Musk does not have the political equity, in my opinion, to pull anything off. He has the money. That's all he has. Keep in mind, when initially back in, was it 2024? 2020, beginning of 2025, I think it was latter part of 2024. Guess who he was supporting for the 2024 elections? 2023. So it's 2023. I think it was late 2023. I'm sorry. Early 2024. Who was he supporting? Who did he have a little when he bought Twitter and he came out with this whole thing with the live stream, this live broadcast? He had a thing. Who was it that he was interviewing first? He was definitely throwing his support behind. Ron DeSantis. Now, I'm not saying DeSantis is a bad guy. But that if you're at all supportive of Donald Trump and what he's doing and everything about MAGA, that was DeSantis was getting seduced by the Republican establishment. There were people behind the scenes that didn't like, they were anti-Trumpers that were sneaking in there and telling they weren't saying anything bad about Donald Trump to DeSantis. All they were saying was, "Oh, it's your time now. This is your time. You're the candidate. You're the one who needs to be the candidate now. You're the one that you've got all the Trump. You know, you're a lot like Trump, but you got the ability to communicate. I just play. You know, slapping all these great things on him, that how wonderful of a leader he is, and all this stuff. Telling him that's why he needs to run for president." They got all these money backers, and then, of course, then you had Elon Musk was stepping in to support the guy. He didn't. He got primaried. I mean, he didn't. He didn't make it. He got shut out. Elon Musk does not have the power he thinks he does, and this again was this whole thing with Doge. He took a beating on the chin with that one, with the whole, his stock mostly in Tesla. Learned very quickly that stepping out there and doing what he's doing, if he's not careful, he can, he doesn't manage the stress very well. of being put on the spot with American people. Trump said something about they're looking into deporting him. Well, we're looking into deporting him. This is, again, I think that Trump has just had it with him. He's acting childish. He's acting like a kid who just can't control his temper. He can't. He's everything that basically the left said they didn't like about Trump, but Trump isn't that way at all. He's the petulant child who just he's you know, brilliant in many ways. He's one of those people who, but he just has no filter. He has no ability to. He wants his way and he wants it now. And I'm amazed, I guess, that how this guy has kind of fallen in my respect for the guy. Not that I don't respect him, I just lost a lot of respect for the guy. And this whole idea of coming up with a new party, the whole thing is, yeah, okay, you can probably start one. You're throwing your money away, dude. And that's all I'm going to say. You're throwing your money away, and it's not the best thing for America. If you want what's best for America, that's not it. You know, get on board. You know, I look at someone like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I'm sure that he's getting tired of doing this whole health thing. I don't think it's what he's really. I don't think it's his big passion. I think he wanted to be president, but I think he appreciates. But I think he's found. Look, this is his cross to bear. It's his thing to do. He's going to step in. He's going to do this. He's going to serve his country because it's the best thing for the country. It's the best thing. And I think that he's really, you know, I think he would rather be out doing his own thing than doing what he's doing right now and having to deal with all these, you know, having all these arguments with all these people in Congress, getting called names, all that kind of stuff. I don't think it's fun for him. This is tough work he's doing. But I think he has manned up to it, and I think he's doing a great job. I think he's definitely there were a lot of people who were saying, oh, this guy's, you know, he shouldn't be the head of health, but yeah, whatever. He's, you know what, there are already changes happening in fast food industry. There are things with processed foods. There are things with all kinds of things that are being rooted out. It's going to be interesting to see the next 4 years how things change, because I just believe we're going to see a much healthier country by the time this 4 years is up. And he's doing a smashing job, in my opinion, on this stuff. And he just knows the process. He's been through it a lot on some other things. He's hopefully, you know, I think he's getting the right people around him as well. It's interesting how that's all coming together. But any of the, I think there are some, now that just what I know. I think there's some positive things happening there. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Some controversial things happening as well, and I think it's just going to be, you know, time will tell how this all pans out, how it all works out. I was also finding out some things about the previous administrations that it's been pretty alarming. But we'll see what happens here with this whole process at this point. And I think that's where we are today. As of today, that's my advice. Ignore them. Do what you know the people want you to do and go from there. The people who are voting for you are the ones who should make the decision. They're the ones who should make that decision. And I just don't think you should be swayed by any particular man. Unless you're not willing to go out and do the work to win the votes. If you just want to get the money and throw it out there and you know, see if that, because that usually does win your election. However, it doesn't always. You can win elections just with grit. And of course, most of them are in this cushy position where they don't want to get re-election. They don't want to have to go through that again. They don't have to go back out and talk to their constituents. They just want to do whatever's politically expedient to win over the PAC money to get their name out there and get their whole thing going. So that's just the way it's working. But anyway, we'll see how it all unfolds. I think this is going to flop majorly for Elon Musk. In the meantime, folks, pray for our nation. Pray for each other. God bless. Take care. See ya.